you this. When you're refining your woodworking skills, what brand of tools are we using there? Amongst the, are we in the big four?
We are in the big four. I am a DeWalt man. I inherited this penchant from my father, who was also a DeWalt man.
Wow. You just struck, like, possibly the deepest chord, literally to the foundation of the Heavy Hole podcast. You already know where I'm going. I inherited the DeWalt brand from my father. And longtime listeners know that my father laid the foundation for the Heavy Hole podcast. No, that's not just a PM Dawn-esque metaphor. Rest in peace to Prince B. My father literally poured the concrete in the basement of Tom's father's house before the Sultan family even lived there. Many years ago, and literally poured the concrete in the room where we recorded the embryonic season back when Justin was on the on air team every episode too.
The embryonic season, I like that a lot.
Yeah. Embryonic seas. Don't nobody steal that. I'm gonna use that as a song title. Nobody out there steal that. Sometimes I come up with a good one in a conversation, man. I can't do that on the podcast.
This is what happens. You're always writing lyrics and you're always reading lyrics, so things come out. I just fumble through sentences. I don't do podcasts like I used to. And when I listen back to podcasts I used to do, it's just also me fumbling. So you get practice, it shows. Ooh.
I do not listen to podcast. I can't listen to the old podcast. I listen to like every episode once for the kind of like proofing and editing, and then I can't. Then I hate the sound of like my own voice and all that stuff.
Yeah, I only listen to myself recorded when I feel really happy and I feel I need to check myself.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Listen, I'm about to check the listeners now because it's Tom Saltman, my co-host, first of all. Welcome back, Tom.
Thanks for having me, Will.
Well, the door's always open because you built it here on the Heavy Hole podcast. And I just want to say on behalf of the listeners and the team, we're glad that you're on air a little bit more lately, man. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Yeah, man. And I'm getting settled I'm down here. It's nice that we could talk via text and go, hey, let's do it. Let's hang out. It's nice.
Yeah, like 90% of my communications with close friends are owned by Google in text message form. It's kind of weird or owned by some entity. That's fine, man. It's all art, right? Who cares? It's all an act. The world is a stage. Allegedly. Speaking of allegedly, I'm not even going to address the allegations in the death metal community that I'm currently sprung off of Blueberry Dream Sativa, New York State legal weed, THC 32.4%. That's I'm not even going to. People, I don't know where they come up with this stuff. But yeah. So anyway, I'm Big Will, aka Uncle Buck. By the way, just sounding on. This is kind of the intro. This was like the coldest intro ever, Tone Loc style cold. We played a band I used to be in played the Riff House Pub in Virginia. Shout out to my brain cells for remembering that on the cuff. That was a close call. Several years ago. And I was wearing sunglasses after dark in New York. A New Yorker guy rolling into a very local style Virginia kind of bar and grill place that had underground shows. So, you know. Fair enough. I walked up, and the bartender, very attractive young lady, looked me dead in the eye and said, "Well, what can I get you, Tone Loc?"
Smooth.
Some people laughed at me. It was good. I laughed at myself. It was a nice time. Yeah. I had a good time with everything. But listen, Tom. Enough about me, man. What else has been going on with you out there? First I lost Justin to the waves. He's out there in the tides every week. Now you're down there in the hot, the probably more temperate climate.
It's nice down here right now. 70 degrees. Suck on that. Huh. There's a lot going on at the house. I'm doing a lot of home repair, painting some kitchen cabinets, building an island.
Wow, whoa. Not another Long Island.
No. I don't miss it that much, man.
I miss like my building friends, a model of Long Island in your house.
Yeah, that would be the most chuggy thing one can do is make a geographic piece of furniture. That's up there.
All the Long Island people moving to Florida and like keeping the Long Island, like patriotism. You know, I'm sure it gets bad.
They're sending bagels down here. You can find bagels now and get them shipped from New York water. And honestly, man, that was kind of a reoccurring sentiment I would get moving down south. My northern friends would say, what about, bagels and pizza and all that stuff? I just don't eat bagels and pizza. I'm actually healthier.
Maybe it's other regions, but it really feels like Long Island is the only place where people like act like they're expats when they move to another state.
I'm in Savannah, not being an expat. You're up in New York, having a good time, and you're talking to people online, like you and me. Who else are you talking to?
A lot of weirdos. I was gonna say, but you're talking about like interviews and stuff and people I got coming up, man.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Either one you want to answer to.
Listen, man. Let's steer the conversation to my buddy Pat from Mutual Hatred right now. I'm sure he's gonna bring a little sand. Podcast, and I'm here with Clay and Pat from Mutual Hatred. Welcome to the podcast, guys. Thank you for your time.
How's it going, Will? Thank you for having us.
Of course, I'm doing great. Glad to see you guys again. It's been a while, like I said. My band Exsanguinated was very fortunate to share the stage with you guys several times last summer, and it's good to catch up with you guys, man. But before we talk about Mutual Hatred, what you guys have planned for this year, and all that sort of thing. Like I always do on the podcast, let's do alphabetical order. I'll start with Clay. Are you from a musical family? Any musicians in your family older than yourself or anyone who guided you towards hard rock and heavy metal music growing up?
Yeah, kinda. When I was growing up real young, my dad played drums. So, I really got inspiration from that. I thought it was so cool, and that's how I like got into playing drums, because I just wanted to do that because he did it, and I just thought it was amazing. Other than that, like, not the rest of my family is not really musical. My dad like just played like rock pretty much. He played like a cover band and, you know, just a regular, your 94.5. I mean, that's like our classic rock radio station here in Toledo. It's just classic rock type stuff. But that's what got me into drumming, and that's pretty much it. He taught me the basics when I was like, I think I started when I was around 12 years old. And then I just took a little bit of lessons and then just taught myself from there. And then I started getting into metal kind of stuff, like new metal, like Slipknot and shit like that. Then I just ventured my way out to heavier and heavier as the time went on. You know what I mean?
What did your dad think of double bass and blast beats and things like that?
I still, to this day, don't know if he knows what a blast beat is, but he had a bunch. I remember he had like a bunch of like old school drum magazines, like Slingerland and Ludwig, just like drum catalogs, and I would love just looking through those and looking at all like the double bass sets and shit like that. And he was like, yeah, that's what they play with both of their feet. And I was like, oh my god, that's crazy. I didn't even know that was a thing. So I was fascinated by that. So I was like, oh, I gotta learn how to do that, you know.
What And when did things go from like your more accessible heavy music to like you wanting to be a death metal drummer? You know, when do you start like Slipknot definitely changed the game and made that drumming style, a bigger thing for people. But like when, you know, you end up in the band Mutilatrid. So when do you take a turn for like the more brutal underground thing?
Oh shit! So let's see. Yeah, when I first started like jamming with other people, it was just like punk kind of stuff, and then it went into a little bit of like the hardcore realm, and I want to say about maybe 2005 or six, then I really wanted to, I started learning about faster, you know, like you said, like blasts and everything, and I wanted to just venture out that way, just heavier, faster. So yeah, I would say 2006 ish me and Pat actually started jamming together around then too, and we had like this, what was it, like a southern metal type band, but I would like do blasts and shit in that too. So I was just learning, I was just like a beginner at that style, and I just wanted to get better at all everything.
Okay, because I'm looking, you and Pat were in a band that predates Mutilatrid, Serpent Speech? Is that my correct?
Yeah, that's, but this was even before then. Okay. It was called Kansas City Shuffle, our southern metal band.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, man. And, all right, well, let's pause there and let's give Pat a turn then. Pat, same line of questioning. Are you from a musical family? Musicians older than yourself or anyone that steered you towards heavy music growing up?
Yeah, so I have a bunch of stories that I can answer this question a lot of ways. I'm trying to think of my favorite ones though, but yeah, there is only a couple people in my family that play music, so I was around that growing up. My Uncle Dave, he plays saxophone in like a lot of rock bands and stuff like that, and also jazz. Then my Uncle Mike, he plays jazz, and he also was a professor of music for his entire career. He's like 77 now. And I grew up going to shows ever since I can remember. And, you know, mostly jazz stuff, and then also just some normal rock stuff, you know, like with my family and whatnot when I was really young. But here's a funny story. So I was always around this, you know, normal music. And I swear, I thought I made up metal in my head when I was like 5 or 6, because I didn't really hear too much metal other than like just, you know, accidentally hearing it in like, let's say, commercials for Ford, and be like, the new Ford, you know, like check out this truck, and I'd hear that riff and just think, okay, what if there was someone like growling over it? And I swear, I thought I made it up. I was even so excited. I was like, this is brilliant. This is a good idea. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be the first one to make metal. Remember, I'm a tiny little kid. Then I heard on the radio in the garage, I heard White Zombie and Thunder Skate 65. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, someone's already done it. I was like, no way. I mean, I wasn't mad. I was excited. I was like, what is this music? And I remember I had to sit there and listen to the bullshit that the guy on the radio say, okay, that was. And I remember what he said. That first song was Type O Negative, followed by this and that, followed by White Zombie. And I was like, a White Zombie? Oh, my gosh. So then I asked my uncle, a different uncle, I said, hey, when you go to the store, can you get me a tape? And he said, sure, what do you want? I said, White Zombie. And he got it. I was pretty young, and that was the first thing I really listened to, and I was blown away by. And it must have been the, you know, early 90s or so. So anyway, that's my intro to metal, really. So then back to just music in general. I started learning music when I was really young. I remember I was just, you know, like some punk kid, and I just, once again, only wanted to play metal. So my uncle tried to start me off the right way and lets me borrow like my cousin's acoustic guitar. And I was halfway mad. I was like, acoustic? Like, it was like an insult. I was like, what the hell am I going to do with this thing? You know, it was just, I don't know. It wasn't what I wanted. I wanted something metal. So he's like, oh, you got to learn music the right way. And I was really rebellious. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that ended up holding me back, looking back at it. I tried to learn the right way when I was younger, and I'd always quit. I'd learn for a little bit, then I'd quit. Learn for a little bit and quit, because I just get frustrated. So
yeah, that's how it went with music for me. Now, another story. Remember, I was going to not like a ton of shows, but I'd be at shows here and there. And I remember I was my early teens, maybe like 13 or something like that. And I see my uncle playing. Did you go to that? I don't think you did. No, no, you I was way too young. Never mind. Clay wasn't there. Sorry. Wrong show. So I go to see my uncle play. He's playing jazz. He's playing organ. So he's playing bass with his left hand and feet, which I was right off the bat kind of blown away by. The first time I was really paying attention, and I was like, what the heck is he doing? Because he played like a lot of different. He didn't always just play organ. He played keyboard. He played horns, you know. So anyway, see him doing that. Then there's this guy, Damon, playing, and his dad, who's now passed away. His name was Leon Cook, and he's a very, really good guitar player from this area. He's actually from Pittsburgh, but lived in Toledo. He's an old jazz guy, and he was amazing. He played with, you can still look up his stuff right now. He played a lot with Jimmy McGriff and Groove Holmes. He played a lot with Groove Holmes. That's the name I wanted to say. But anyway, I saw this guy play, and he's playing so fast on guitar. Such a high tempo, too. Like, the tempo is, like, probably 200-something, and he's playing ripping on a solo. And that's right when it hit me where I was like, holy shit, this jazz stuff is actually kind of cool, because before I was a little bit rebellious to anything that wasn't metal, and I just realized, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's shredding so hard, I cannot believe how hard he's shredding. I was just thinking, if that was distortion, that would sound gnarly, you know, like that's like exactly what he's doing. So that kind of turned me on to not being so negative about other stuff and thinking, oh man, this other music can be kind of cool and kind of help you out. And then, you know, you fast forward here to the future, I'm in my mid-30s. I play jazz all the time now, in addition to playing metal. You know, it's like I can't get enough of playing music in general. So when we're not playing metal, I'm always at a jazz show almost 7 days a week. And if it's not my show, I usually know the people who have the shows around town. And at jazz shows, it's really common to let people sit in, especially if they're younger and newer musicians. So yeah, I have a lot of fun playing music every day.
All right, man. I want to get into that a little bit. But before we get too far ahead, I get the impression, did you and Clay know each other like in high school and teenager years or that sort of thing? Or
we actually met each other. Yeah, I was definitely in high. I'm older than Clay. Just how much older am I than you?
I don't know. How old are you? I'm 34.
Okay, so I'm only 2.5 years older than Clay. I was in high school when I met him. And so he was definitely in high school. Yeah. And it's funny how I met him. One of my friends says, we live in we're here right now where we're from in Point Place, which is in Toledo, but it's a little neighborhood that's on the water on Lake Erie. And it's a little boating community. And, you know, a lot of people know each other. So anyway, when I was younger, my friend Brandon said, hey, I met these two guys. They play fucking metal and they're good. I said, shut the hell up. He said, yeah, his name is Clay and Bobby. And they're really cool. So I said, okay, we're probably like 16 or so. And I was 17, just got my license, didn't have a car. I was driving my grandma's car just to borrow it to go get tickets for a cattle decapitation show, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Cattle decap show, Clay's opening for with his band. And I you know, call him on the landline, didn't even have any of these fancy phones yet. And I call Bobby's mom's house, and I'm like, is Bobby there? They're like, yeah. I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Patrick. I want to come pick up some tickets for a show. And they're like, right, go ahead. So I drove over there. It's the first time I met Clay. And after I met him, we hung out probably a week later, and the rest is history. You know, that sounds stupid as fuck, but yeah, we've been hanging out ever since. I think shortly, I mean, for a while, maybe 6 months, we didn't jam together. I just watched his band play, and I noticed he was really good, and their band was awesome. And eventually, we started a band together.
What band is that then? That Clay was in opening for Cattle Decap.
It was called A Saturday Night Drive-By.
Yeah, ASNDB.
ASNDB.
Yeah.
It was just like a metal-ish, hardcore type deal, metalcore, whatever. It was
kind of like Daughters, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it had a little bit of like that grindy style too. It was just a little bit of everything. We're just trying to have fun and play the whole everything smushed together.
Sounds like that early 2000s special, the band name and the genre and everything. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I trust me, I was there too. We, you know what I mean?
It's funny.
All right. So, and then, like I said, you guys eventually team up and you form Serpent Speech. That's like the first time you guys start collaborating.
Oh, we did. But real quick, too, I don't want to flex too hard here, but I also had a lot of new metal bands before all that shit. And that's right when I met Clay was around when, I mean, it was a little bit after that, but like when some of my new metal bands were falling apart and started dabbling around with different music, you know, I was making more like just metal stuff. But anyway, what did you say?
Well, the before Serpent Speech, it was Kansas City Shuffle, that southern metal band I was talking about.
Yeah.
And then, so that's where we started jamming together. We had that band.
About 06, 07.
So like I said, it was southern metal. And then we actually stopped. We stayed the same. I mean, we were still the same, like, band as people, like, same members. But we started playing a little bit of, like, the black metal realm.
Yeah, we did. And then we called that Goltzius. So one of my favorite artists from a long time ago, it's his last name, Hedrick Goltzius. So, yeah, we made that. And that stuff, by the way, was really cool. Like, I'm super pumped on it because, and by the way, I didn't write it. I'm not trying to sound like a douche here or something, but I did. Our buddy Bobby, who's an amazing musician, he wrote most of all that stuff with Clay. I just did vocals back then. I played guitar, but not in the band. I just sat there and was amazed when he'd write these cool riffs. And long story short, the band fell apart for a few different reasons, and we don't have it now. But we do have, we're left with like a couple of demo CDs that are just so cool. And it's funny, the recordings, like it's like a full length, but it's not all finished. There's not vocals on all of it. We never even got to the point of finishing it before the band fell apart. And then after that fell apart, let's see, that was probably about 2012-ish or so. Yeah. Maybe a 2011, maybe.
Maybe 11, 12, yeah.
Yeah, about 11. That's when we made Serpent Speech, which had different guys in it. That was me and Clay. I was, once again, just on vocals. For the longest time, this is another thing of our history, I only would do vocals because we had so many friends that played guitar, and they were really talented. They were way better than me, and they really wanted to play guitar. So I was like, okay, you know, you play guitar. There you go. And then as the years went on, we had problems here and there with continuing a band, like keep going, and it'd always be me and Clay. Okay, anyway, if that happens again, sorry, I'll be right back if that happens again. But
okay, I'm just gonna so my producer knows to edit that part right there.
All right, good, perfect, because that might happen on accident.
Okay,
let me see your phone here in a second. But anyway, what was I saying here? So we had problems with, you know, just keeping the band going for whatever reason. We always wanted to play stuff. So then we had the idea one day. I was like, hey, we should make a death metal band. We both like death metal. We should make a death metal band where it's, at first we were just going to be a two-piece, just us two, because we knew we could always just be, you know, relying on each other to play. And that's what we did at first. Then we had another guitar player when we started Mulatred, and, you know, and so on and so on. We've had a lot of members in the band, but we're always here. I mean, like our lineup right now has been solid for quite a while. Anyway, I don't want to get too far ahead of these questions. Sorry.
No, that's great. That's a good background. And yeah, shout out to Eli and Drew. Solid guys. It was great to meet and hang out with both of those guys. How long, respectively, have each of them been with the band?
Shit.
damn it. Sorry, we're gonna have to edit
edit this out. We're dropping my phone. Had to get a charger. Okay, here we go.
Let's see. Eli has been in the band.
Sorry, we're like cavemen when it comes to dealing with phones and technology here. Okay. Sorry about that.
It's okay, man.
Okay. Okay,
man. So Eli has been in the band. He started before Drew. I want to say Eli started in 2000 in, let's see, I'm really trying to think here. Do you know what year Eli started jamming with us?
Oh, yes, I do. I do know. It was 2015 because we played the 2015 Akron Death Fest, and that was Eli's first show. He played with us. He was working, and he drove. It's like 2.5 hours. We were already there, you know. We were planning to play as a two-piece, and he just was like, hey, I'm on the way. We're like, oh, fuck, yeah, this dude's dope. So, also, we knew Eli before that for quite a while, and
he jammed with us here and there, like dabble with jamming with us before he was really in the band. And we always said, dude, like, you should play with us. And he said, you know, I want to, but he lived out of town. And then when he moved in town, we're like, you know, we're going to ask you, dude. And then there you go. He joined the band about 2015, though.
And then Drew started playing with us. Oh, at the time, Eli was apprenticing, like tattooing. So he couldn't get the time off work for a lot of shows. So originally how Drew started playing with us was on bass first, because Eli could never make the shows. Not never, but sometimes. So we asked Drew, hey, man, you want to fill in on bass for these shows? And that was probably around 2017. I was maybe 17 or 16. So then, yeah, he started playing with us a lot, just coming to practices and learning the songs and everything and playing shows here and there. And then he eventually, like, he's a guitar player, so he just eventually started playing guitar too with that. So 2016 or 17, I think it was 17.
17, yeah, probably towards the end of it. I think it was
for Drew.
Yeah.
Okay, so is Determined to Rot the first release with that entire lineup kind of solidified and contributing, or?
I'd have to think super hard about that.
I think
you got us. That's a tough one.
Everyone recorded Ingested Filth. It was the EP.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And the one before that was a split with who? Livid? Yes, it was with...
That was after. The split was with From the Hellmouth.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
From Cleveland, but they're not a band anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one had our last lineup on it. Oh, sort of. We had a few different lineups, but Pat on it. Pat Myers.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So you guys have been the constant core of the band, and Eli and Drew have been with you for a while now.
Yeah.
Before Mutilatred, had either of you guys had much experience traveling and touring?
Not with touring. Big old heck no. We always are the type of people in band that were like, man, one day we're going to tour. And it just kept not happening. It happens now. We're really lucky. I always tell myself that and tell Claire that we're super lucky. We do a bunch. I mean, I think, you know, and I don't know. We're still just constantly booking stuff. But anyway, it is always tough to tour because of just work and life. You know, you got to make a balance of being able to afford to do all this stuff, be able to afford gas, music gear, all that shit, you know, insurance for the vehicle, all that stuff, or a rental or whatever you have, you know.
Yeah, well, because that's what I'm getting at. Mutilatred has definitely made a go of it. You guys do get out there, and when, like I said at the top, my band Exsanguinated did a run of shows with you guys last summer. I was very impressed with your van setup.
Yeah.
I was hoping maybe we could spend a few minutes talking about the ways in which you've kind of custom modified your van. I don't know if you're still with that van. You were talking about maybe scrapping that and getting a new one to work on or whatever. But I mean, mm-hmm. just to emphasize to the listeners how over the top you kind of go with this stuff.
I'll let Pat take on that because it's his baby. He's the one that did all the work and everything.
Well, I like to go overboard on everything I'd like to do, including metal. That's why we just play nonstop. And yeah, the van's one of them. Man, I'm obsessed with it. By the way, too, real quick, I am trying to get a new van, but God damn it, after COVID, it is really hard to get a van now. Like, the world just went fucking wacko, and now it's, like, everything is, like overly priced, like, just stupidly. It's nuts. So, back when I got the van in 2017, when I was really lucky to get it then, it was way easier to get a van. Like, you didn't have to fight FedEx and Amazon to get a van. As hard, at least. You didn't have to fight them as hard. But I had to drive 3.5 hours away. I got the van. Believe it or not, it was seriously not hard to get. It's a joke to me. Or not a joke to me, but I keep joking with people. I have, like, okay credit. Nothing too crazy. I just called up this place. I was like, what do you need to get this van? Like, how much you need? And they're like, well, we can do as low as 500 down. I was like, sold. So I went there with $500, signed paperwork, got the van. Had a bill, which sucks, you know, whatever. But that's why we play the shows, to, you know, pay all this stuff off. So anyway, that's how I got the van, which If to anyone listening who wants a van, do it. It's not that hard. Go find one. You know, find a used one, find whatever. If you can't afford it, which who for the fuck can, finance it and pay it off by playing some metal shows, you know, or laying carpet or doing roofs or whatever. So get the van, and then I went to town doing a lot of research on how to insulate it. And real quick about that, I can talk about that forever. I'm not going to go overboard too hard here. But I insulated the hell out of the inside of it with four different types of insulation to get all those specific areas really insulated. I also tested the thing when I got it. I was kind of so anxious and just had to go on a trip. I went to go see my cousin before he moved out of Montana, drove all the way there. That drive was insane. Get there in the summer. Remember, it's not August. It's like 90 during the day. We get to the mountains at night. It's like 30 degrees at night, which was pretty crazy. I guess I should have realized that and been more ready. This is back when I first got the van, right? So there's no insulation. I woke up to drips of water coming down on my face. Fucking in the morning, I'm freezing. The van's freezing. I'm like, holy shit, this is nuts. So I really tested that thing hard as hell. We even did our first tour in the van with no insulation. You know what? We just deal with it. It's fine. But like I said, then I just love messing with stuff and improving stuff. So looked up all these videos on how to insulate it and get it going on the inside. And I did everything bare minimum, like cost wise. So I kept everything cheap. Like to do the entire inside of the van, I want to say it was about $2,500 to $3,000, which some of these people you see on Instagram and stuff are spending like so much money on a van, like more than a house. That's nuts to me. I can't believe that shit. I got the thing at a low price, or low price for back, you know, before COVID, because like I said, now everything's double, which fucking sucks. But got it for a good price. Didn't put too much money into doing the inside. It was just a lot of work. It took me about two months of working on it almost every single day before work. I tattoo, so I would make all my appointments around noon and work on that thing from like 7 o'clock until like 11:30. And I got it all done. So I'll talk about the inside now. And this is what I'm going to do to the next one. Really just insulate the hell out of it the right way. So the insulation breathes. You get stuff that's not going to get mold on it, because if you get mold in the van, you're going to have a big problem. You don't want to use stuff like fiberglass because it can get into the air and you're going to breathe it. And that's not good. So anyway, you go through the checklist, you insulate the van, and then we built two bunks in there, but we have it set up so that five people can sleep in there with the gear in there. I know that sounds insane because it kind of is insane, but we make it work. And that's about it. I don't have one of these vans too that has a kitchen or a shower. We do not have that. We use the restroom at gas stations and rest stops, and we don't have water. We do not have heat or anything yet. That's going to be something in the future I'm going to figure out. I mean, we do have heat if we run like a propane heater, but we can't leave that running all night, you know, obviously. So yeah, that's the inside of the van. It is awesome, like you said, but it's not like these ones you see all over the internet. You know, it's not like the inside of a house, even though I appreciate it just the same. Have everything we need, but we also, I can't tell you how much we stay in that van. Like we stay in it in the winter when it's really cold. We stay in it in the summer when it's really hot. Both those kind of suck, but you deal with it. You just get the right type of blankets and all that stuff and you're good to go. And that helps out big time on touring, by the way. If you're trying to save money for doing stuff in the future, there you go. You stay in your vehicle. We do get hotels here and there. It's nice to take a normal shower. But yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously there's people who spend thousands of dollars and do, you know, lavish Pimp My Ride style things. But I'm talking about underground death metal, blue collar, with a budget. You got, you know, your van in particular, I noticed you first of all, you had like a heat, a vent fan. Like an actual fan on the roof that you could install for when you're like posted up somewhere. You guys had like a flat screen TV that swung out and you were like playing video games and hanging out. And then that was rigged up. Like how was that rigged up so you weren't constantly turning on, you know, running gas or burning up, or burning the battery down?
That's a good question. Good question. So one of the most expensive things when I was doing the inside, and I included this in that money, I said I spent about $3,000 or so, was I got a lithium battery, generator. And it's about the size of a car battery. And, you know, I got this thing, 6 years ago now. So it's an older one. Still, it works great. Now they have way better ones. And that runs all of our electricity stuff. We, once again, I don't have the van super hooked up. Like some people use a couple boat dry cell batteries or marine batteries because, you know, they're just bigger. They hold more power. They have two different inverters. They have cables running everywhere. I don't have something like that. I just have an easy generator I can pick up and move if I need to. Now I have that hooked up to just an extension cord with a bunch of outlets on it. And there's also outlets on that. So that's how we have the power going. The fan, that's a super need. You have to have a fan. That fan is the nicest one you can get from this place called Max Fan. The reason I got that one is because there's 10 speeds. Real quick here, if you're doing any of this, if you're going to put one in your van, if you run it on the speed 10, it usually blows the fuse on it. So don't go above speed 9. But anyway, that is super duper helpful for the summer when it's fucking hot as hell. You turn that on and you can crank the air out of the van or in the van. So it can be like a fan out or an exhaust fan in. And usually in the summer when it's really hot in the van during the day or at night, like when the sun sets, you know, it's still hot. We put the fan, the air pulling out of the van in the middle of the night when I wake up and it feels more like a good, okay temperature, I'll put the fan blowing the air back in the van when it's cooler. So, you know, that's an example of how we use the fan. The TV, got a little piece of shit TV from my coworker. He didn't use it. It was just in his garage. And I said, I'll take that, put it in the van. You know, I'm always doing stuff like that. And then with that, we have our switch hooked up to it, which is cool. Eli has his own switch. He can plop it on there if he wants. One really nerdy, cool thing we do, because we're so fucking professional, is we will film our set and then I'll take my GoPro, send it to my phone, take a little cable I got from Walmart, plug the phone to the TV with the HDMI, and then watch the set in the parking lot. It's like we're reviewing it like we're a sports team. We're like, yeah, check out the set, how'd it go, guys? And it's cool because believe it or not too, a lot of the other bands are like, oh, you filmed this? I'm like, yeah, it's right here. And they're like, holy shit, let me see this. And then they're watching you. So I just love that stuff, dude. I can't get enough of music in general and bands.
Yeah, and just for the listeners, if anyone doesn't appreciate this stuff, for someone from my perspective, from someone who's toured in a lot of just rented vans, you know, factory from the factory, no modifications, no accoutrements like that, nothing like that. You know, touring the country, I've slept in vans where you're just in a sleeping bag in Colorado with snow out, and you can't even poke your finger out of the sleeping bag, or you're gonna freeze to death. You know, I've slept in vans where it's hot and humid out in California, and you're on the side of the street somewhere, and you got nowhere to go take a piss, and it's just like sweating balls in the morning when you wake up. Little things like this matter so much when you're on the road for more than, you know, a few days, when you're on the road for a few weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. Big difference. Now, one thing I want to blow up your spot on, because I thought it was brilliant and still think it's one of the most brilliant ideas I've ever seen touring, is the portable shower.
Yes, yes. Let me tell you about a shower. I got everything. I could have a separate podcast on vans, dude. And real quick, I'll say something on rental vans in a second here. But the shower, I went on over to Menards or Home Depot, spent like $25 on getting a pesticide sprayer, you know, a new one. Everybody hears that and gets scared. Got a different hose ending for it, like a garden hose that has different settings on it, so you don't waste all your water real fast. That's it. You put the water in there, and then you hang up the hose somewhere, like let's say in your door. You put a bathing suit on, and you take a shower. Now, when you're on tour, you know how it is too. You're on tour and you are on like day 5 or 6 or something. You haven't showered. You're playing shows every night in summer. It starts to suck.
You got
like,
swamp ass.
Yeah. Even walking around sucks. You're like, dude, my fucking everything hurts right now. I'm so dirty. This sucks. So yeah, I'll take a shower. I don't give a shit where I am. My newest thing too is go and bother if the venue's open, bother the bar person before anything's open. Say, hey, can I get some warm water? That's great. If it's warm, it's great. I also, for when it's fall, I'll shower until it's decently cold outside, but when it's freezing, I'm not doing it. But I got this little thing off Amazon. It was like $10, and it looks like a curling iron. You plug it in, you stick it in the water, and it gets the water real hot. So
nice.
There you go. You know, just nonstop stuff. Like I showered outside of St. Vitus. People looking at me a little bit weird, but I don't care. They won't bother you after your shower. They're like, okay, I'm going to leave that guy alone.
Well, because I've seen this. You open the back doors, the two back door hatches of the van, and then extend some sort of makeshift curtain. So you actually have like a private shower stall on the street wherever you are. In any main street America, wherever you pull up, you got a shower.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one time, this is a funny story. The other guys didn't want to shower because we're in Philly and it's a busy ass area where we are, people Oof. Everywhere. And it's really hot. It's miserably fucking hot. It seems like we're in an episode sort of a cartoon or something. And I'm like, we need to shower, dudes. You know, someone looks up and they're like, hey, there's a public pool that's free. And I'm like, okay, I'll go swim in this pissy public pool. You know, I don't care. Because any water sounds good when it's like 98 degrees. So we walk and I'm like bitching. I'm like, this pool better be halfway decent. Better, you know, I'm like, I've had it. I was telling you, I was so like, just gross. Get to the pool. It's full of sand and trash. And I'm like, God, I was so mad. I was like, that's it. And we just walked back to the van, got the shower out, started taking a shower. So much traffic. So my people were like kind of laughing and taking pictures, you know, be like, oh, look at this guy. This is funny. We're from Philly. Funny thing about that too, is like, we're getting surrounded by, some bums or some homeless people are just like, you know, just bugging us a little bit. We gave them some change. We don't even know if we had any change. I'm like, hey dude, we're on tour. We don't have anything. They keep asking us, you know, like people walking by, I start taking a shower. Everyone leaves us alone. They're like, okay. They're like, never mind. They're like, yeah, that guy's taking a shower on the side of the road. Yeah.
You should have started.
So that is funny.
You should have started hustling showers, man. Start selling showers for $5. Let people get back.
Yeah, seriously, yeah.
Scrub down.
I think I asked one guy was sitting on the steps. I was like, you want to come over here and take a shower with me? He looked at me like I was crazy.
I got home. My mother has fruit trees, and she's got like one of those big tanks with the pressure pump, you know, like you know, for putting whatever kind of shit on the fruit trees. And I was like, this is like genius. You just bring this on tour and you got like running water. I mean, you could also use it for other applications, but that's
sure.
That's great. You know, people stop at the big gas station truck stops sometimes and get those rental stall showers. Yep. You know, why cut out the middleman?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were just talking about those showers this morning. Our buddies from the band Rig Time were in town. They're on tour right now and they stopped by. So we went and met them this morning to get some food. And they were telling us about some rental hack. I don't know. I can't quote it exactly. I mean, you can ask these guys online. They'll tell you. Their name is Rig Time. But if you get a Pilot reward card, which is free, you can call them up to corporate or whatever and change the points over to certain points that work for shower tokens. So then you can get free showers every like 14 gallons of gas you get or something like that. So there's a little hack right there where you can get free showers from Pilot for just getting gas there.
Okay. That's,
so that's a pretty cool one. To know.
We all play on that tour that Exsanguinated did. We did a show with Rig Time. I want to say Iowa or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been meaning to get Rig Time on the show too. I got this. You guys see how long it took me to get you guys. I got this list of people ever growing. Sure. I'm a one-man operation here. So, all right, guys. So, you guys have been doing this band quite some time now. And I would say maybe when you started the band, you guys kind of predated this era we're in now. I call it the death metal renaissance, where there's where bands are, you know, you already know what I'm getting at in terms of just all the bands, the labels, the support, the younger people at the shows. Probably, I want to say, since the pandemic, a lot of younger people got into this sort of thing. Could you give me your perspective on what that's done for the band? And would you say that like things that the band has been able to at least benefit from that, from the scene growing so much?
What has it done for the band? It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. And here, I'll sum it up without sounding too, I don't know, I guess negative. But real quick, first, let me answer your question, I guess. What's done for the band? I don't know. I guess not a ton, really. That'd be silly to say. Like, it has done something. I mean, there's more shows. Let's say that. There's more shows to play. So right there gives us some more opportunities on shows.
Let me reframe the question.
Yeah.
When you guys first started the band, was death metal as accepted? Was it as easy to get on bills and play in front of accepting crowds when you guys first started Mutilatred?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And it reminds me real quick, I have like another side project called Reptile, and it's impossible to get shows with that right now. And that's not death metal, it's grind, but still, it just what I'm saying is when you're a new band, it is pretty hard to get shows in general. And back then when we started in 2013, it was definitely hard for us to get shows. I think right now, if you're a death metal band and you start, it's, let's say, a little bit easier to get shows because there's just more shows happening, which is really cool. But, okay, so back when we started, though, for example, when we played a lot of shows, we were the only death metal band a lot of the time. And then another thing is, if I had to say, and all this is going to answer a question later, which we'll get to that later, but another band that we played with a lot when we started, or at least a handful of times, was Gut Rot. And they're so fucking sick. And I mean, they're like brutal, nasty death metal. And that was, you know, when we were playing with Gut Rot, we'd be like, hell yeah, we're not a band, we're playing a death metal show now, you know, like, fuck yeah. Yeah. We'd be on a lot of mixed bill shows, though, a lot. Yeah, just how it was. But also, too, I'm not trying to say either that there was, like, no death metal at all. There was. And we would play some shows. I really miss this place, and I miss the scene. But we'd play in Detroit at Corktown Tavern. And there'd be a bunch of these good-ass death metal bands that have been around for a long time. Like, a long time. And then another place where that happens is Cleveland. There'd be a lot of bands that have been around for a long time that we play with, like, Sodomize, Forge and Gore.
Limb Splitter.
Yeah, Limb Splitter, yeah. In Detroit, it'd be, like, Thousand Yard Stare. You remember that band?
Yeah.
Yeah. What other Detroit ones were there, other than Gut Rot?
Well, that's something I wanted to get at was... Ohio, for people who are in, you know, I'm 42, people who got into death metal my age when they were teenagers in the late 90s, Ohio, the Ohio Death Fest, you mentioned Sodomized, Embalmer, Regurgitation, mm-hmm. It's like hallowed ground for brutal death metal heads of a certain age and people who are now, geographically, I'm not from Ohio, I'm not from your guys' area. Where you guys are from, do you feel like you're maybe part of some sort of Ohio death metal legacy, or are you maybe, like, you know, a little bit removed from where most of that stuff happened?
You answer.
I don't consider us, like, in that category as legacy. We're like, I mean, we've been around for a long time ish, but we're not. Maybe we're like the babies, tiny little. We're like toddlers.
The metal babies, watch out! But
well, no, yeah, I'm not asking you guys to compare yourselves to the, you know, these older bands that we respect, but just in terms of like I, you know, I'm from New York, and people think that I must have, you know, grown up, you know, like going to see morticians actually from upstate New York. So I'm just saying, like, you guys are from the Lake Erie area. Did you have access to a lot of these shows growing up and seeing all these bands, or was that something further away?
Absolutely. One band that I have to say too, obviously influenced our name. This is a big obvious. Was Mutilated. Oh my gosh, dude! I love seeing that band. I used to love seeing that band. That shit was insane. And then a real quick thing, too. Russ, who was in that band, this is just a topic that thrills me. He was also in Gut Rot. I wish he was still playing metal, but he does play jazz now, so that's pretty cool. That's besides the point. But anyway, yeah, I got lucky to go to some good-ass shows since about, I would say, the late 90s when I was really, really, really young. Didn't even have my license. Had a buddy who was, like, a few years older who had a license, take his dad's minivan around, and we'd go to shows. So, and also to answer the question about, like, the legacy thing, I would say we have a legendary show attendance record, you know, of shows we've been to, not played, just been to. I've seen a lot of really cool stuff in Ohio and Michigan when I was way younger. I mean, even like huge bands too, like Cryptopsy, Morbid Angel, Chrissian, all together, like on tour and stuff back in like the early 2000s. I got super lucky to see that. Who else? Origin. Origin, another band. Unmerciful, a long time ago with their old lineup. I mean, just like such good stuff. But for us too, so that's why we play death metal. And I don't know. I don't know if we like add to that because we're almost not old enough, you know? We're in the middle. We're in the middle of these old legendary people. And then there's the new people. And we're in the middle. We're in our 30s, you know? So, yeah, that's just how I see it.
Yeah. Well, we put.
Yeah. Also, too, once again, just going back to how much I appreciate, like, music in general, but our band, because I fucking love playing. I love our band too. So we have got to play some good ass shows with some good ass bands. Like you said, we played with Mortician. That was like more recently. Quite a while ago, we played with Suffocation, and that blew our minds. I mean, this is back in, when was it, like 2017, 2016 or something like that?
Yeah, 16. They actually, Frank actually did vocals
for that. Yeah, show. Frank was there. Yeah, this is the, you know.
In Toledo at Frankie's.
Yeah, so, and that was just, oh, man, that was like mind-blowing back then. You know, I was like, oh, we're like,
oh, yeah, it was a huge deal.
And right now, Drew's fucking touring with Suffocation. He's leaving for it right now with his other band. I mean, that's amazing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Sounds like you guys were, you know, right there and explode. There's always, and you know, how Ohio's always had like a reputation for a big death metal scene and a big death metal appetite for touring bands that go through there. I've never really had any bad experiences going through. So let's talk a little bit. Yeah, I'm not sure what that noise is, but let's talk a little bit more about. You guys released "Determined to Rot" in 2022 on Redefining Darkness Records. I want to talk about that a little bit, but quickly, are you guys making plans to record anything new? Is that anything you want to talk about in terms of this year? Or
absolutely, we are, and don't get Clay started here. Don't get Clay started, but we have like a big fucking problem with getting a recording done quickly, and I mean it's not like we're just blaming someone; it's our fault too, because we do record ourselves mostly. And we're not some super professional fucking Hall & Oates recording studio, you know what I'm saying? We're not some great, but we have been dabbling in that in a long time, like 10 years now. So we do that ourselves. But the problem is too, especially once again, after good old COVID, we'll get everything done. We'll be ready to go. And then we're like, okay, you know, we've been trying to get the records, you know, printed and stuff. And the record company say, oh yeah, it's going to be a year. And we're like, what? To get like vinyl and stuff like that. And we're like, God damn it. Like, you know, just stuff like that. When we're just like, come on, dude, how is this taking that long? So like for Determined Rot example, we had that done for a whole year before it actually came out, which is nuts. And that really drives me crazy. So yeah, we are going to record here soon. And I mean, it better not be a year. I don't know, but we'll have some stuff out.
I noticed the last one was mixed and mastered at Hop House Studio in Denmark. You want to tell me about that?
That was Redefining Darkness. It's Thomas Haywood. He has a guy that mixes and masters bands, his bands that he releases.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that guy's in Denmark. His name's Andreas Leinman, I believe. And I was really impressed on how he made it pop. I was happy with the sound of the mixing and mastering that he did for Determined to Rot.
Because it's got a good sound. So you guys record everything in house and then send it to this Hop House studio to get mixed and mastered.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It worked out really good.
Okay. And you know, we talk gear sometimes on the podcast. I don't know if you guys want to just go into what you're using. What you may have used on the recording, what you're using now, just in terms of Clay with your drums, and Pat in terms of guitar, pedals, amps, and you know, anything like that you may want to talk about.
You go first.
Hold on, Will. Can you ask that question again? Sorry.
Yeah, just you know, musicians that listen to the podcast may be interested in the type of gear you use. You know, just your drums. Your setup.
Oh, okay. I use just a 5-piece drum kit. I like having two rack toms, and then just a floor tom, kick and snare. So I recently live started using using triggers for my kick drum, and actually it's been a little while now, a couple years, and I love using that live because it cuts through everything. A lot of people aren't fans of the triggering because it doesn't have that. It's not like a natural. It's like, I like it because it cuts through. You can actually hear the kick drum very well. You know what I'm saying? It's when it's just mic'd, it kind of blends in, which is good. No, I like that style too, but I really like using the triggers a little bit more right now because I can just hear it better. And I like hearing that kick no matter what.
Was it like hard to transition when you first started using them?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Getting the module all dialed in. Sometimes it would, you had that mistriggering. Like sometimes you'll hit the kick drum and it'll be like, and once you get it all dialed in, it's perfect. I love it. But yeah, it's kind of hard to get it all set up. It took a little bit of time and practice messing with the module and all that.
Now, I may have my personal preference in like what I wouldn't want to hear when I put on a CD. I would never accuse someone who can play drums of cheating or anything. You know, you see online people say no triggers, no this, no that.
Yes, yeah.
What I just want to get, like, you know, devil's advocate here. Like, what would you say to somebody who doesn't play drums, doesn't really know the mechanics behind it, and says, "Oh, he's cheating. He uses triggers, okay, that sort of thing." Like, what's your response to that?
Okay, here's how I look at it. With triggering, it's actually harder. It's I don't consider it cheating at all because you can hear it better. You know, if you're playing sloppy, not playing tip top with your kicks, everyone's gonna be able to hear it.
We call fucking up on the kick drums margarita night.
Yeah,
on Tuesdays we get tacos and margaritas, and we usually jam. And sometimes that kick's a little bit bubbly. It's not on tempo. And sometimes we'll be at a show, and it can even be like a really good ripper of a drummer, and he'll have a. Okay, so we're at shows sometimes. We see a drummer. I mean, it could be a ripper drummer too. And let's say he messes up part on double bass. Me and Clay would just look at each other and be like, "We're just like mouth margarita night, man."
Same goes for me. Like we'll have tacos before we jam. Sometimes a couple margaritas, and then I'm just like, "Oh, it's a margarita night for sure." My double bass is just sloppy as hell.
Yeah.
All right, I can't even play dough. It's always margarita night for me behind a drum kit, so I can't front. Well, listen, speaking of margarita night, you guys just told me something behind the scenes, and I was going to get into this when we were talking about the van. Being from where you're from in Lake Erie, I know that we did actually go on a nice little camping trip on a day off from tour when we were on tour together. Did you guys kind of grow up doing that? Is that part of the culture where you grow up fishing and camping and all that? Fuck. Lost you again.
Yeah, of course, some of your guys in the band never camped before. I lost my mind. I was like, "You never what? Are you here?"
Yeah, I lost you guys from...
Can you hear me right now?
When you started answering that question, I lost you guys. If you just want to take it again there.
Okay. So, yeah, when we toured with you guys, a few guys in your band have never camped, and that blew me away. I was like, "You never camped? Like, how have you not camped before?" Yeah, I did grow up doing it. Not a ton, even. Not like a ton, but I did, like, my entire life. And I do like it a whole lot. And right now, like, I like staying in the van. So I'm not, I guess you can say I'm not like an ultra camper. I don't like go sleeping underneath a tree or something like that. But I just love camping. I mean, there's nothing better than that. So, yeah, when we have days off, we'll try to find a cool campsite. How cool was that place? It was called Land Between the Lakes. I don't remember where it was, but it was really cool.
What state was that in?
It was either Kentucky or Tennessee. One of the two.
I think it was Kentucky. Yeah, that was okay. That was out there, man. Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah.
And what do you got planned for later today that you mentioned before?
Oh, okay. So in the winter, okay, all year long. Like, first of all, some people around here and everywhere you can be, like anywhere you're from, any hometown you're in, you're going to find people being negative, saying, "I hate this place. I yada yada this place." Well, I have fun all the time here. We do stuff outside a whole lot, whether it's summer or winter. Right now it's winter. The lake is frozen, so I'm actually looking at it right now. Long story short, we go out on the ice a whole lot and do different stuff out there. Like, we play hockey. We're going to do that today. We have an ice boat. An ice boat is a sailboat with three blades on it. And where you lay is almost like a coffin, like an old Western coffin, like this wooden box. You lay it on your back, and that thing goes fast as hell. The world record for those, I want to say, is around 145. Not around here, but just the world record. So out here, it's not very hard to go 60 miles an hour or so.
or at least today it looks like they're going about 40. And like I said, you're just sailing on a boat on the ice. It's absolutely insane. It's really dangerous, but it's really fun. So we're doing that today. We're gonna have a bonfire. Right now it is 18 out, so that's pretty nice because this week it was like under 5 for like the whole week. Wow. So the ice is good enough right now to go walking on and to obviously have a sailboat on because they're not that heavy. I would say the ice is probably about 5 or 6 inches thick. Yeah, it's just something we like to do. We like being outside. Last night I had a fire till about 12:30. It was probably like 8 degrees when I went inside, but we're sitting by the fire and, you know, warming up from that.
Wow. Sounds nice. Sounds nice. Do you guys go ice fishing?
Yes. Yes. We're setting up today a shanty, they call it. So it's like a fancy tent and we're going to drill a hole in the ice and we're going to put a heater in that shanty. So we'll get the shanty up to like 75 degrees and we'll be in there in a t-shirt just having fun. Fishing. Then this sounds wild too, but sometimes we make a fire right outside the shanty on the ice, like way out there. Because believe it or not, this sounds crazy, but I learned this a long time ago. I couldn't believe it. You can have a fire on the ice for quite a while before it becomes a problem. Swear, it sounds nuts, but you okay. can.
All right. I believe you, man. I wouldn't know. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, I wish you guys the best of luck. Please be safe.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, man. Well, with that being said, I've had you guys have been very generous with your time today. We want to remind the listeners, if they haven't already, to go check out Determined to Rot on Redefining Darkness and to keep their eyes and ears peeled for new material coming out. Like I said before, you guys are playing the Austin Death Fest this coming April, if I got that right. And in addition to that, you're touring with See You Next Tuesday and Mouth Breather this April.
Yep. So we'll be out. We're not doing the whole See You Next Tuesday tour. It's just like we're doing the first 4 days of that. Mm-hmm. And that the last day is in, I believe, Memphis. And so then we have like almost like a week gap between Austin Death Fest. So we're going to play our way down to Austin and then on the way back to, here home.
Okay, so we're going to tell people to follow you on social media and keep posted for stuff developing in April, American tour dates. Beyond that, I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to plug and promote anything else you got going on. I want to let you guys get out there on the ice now. I'm jealous. But before I let you go, please take a turn. Each recommend one older and one newer piece of music, metal or otherwise, demo, album, anything. There's no strict rules. Just talk about two things that you want to recommend to me and the listeners.
Okay, I'll go first. A newer release that I really liked is a band called Putridity from Italy.
Oh, God,
it's
yes.
Like really fast, brutal death metal.
Yeah,
they came out with an album, like a short, I think it's maybe an EP, called Greedy Gory Gluttony. I highly recommend that, especially if you're a drummer. I just love listening to insane drums, so that'll be a treat. Older release for me is one of my all-time favorites, The King's Devourment. It's called Unleash the Carnivore. It's that album gets some hate sometimes, but it's one of my favorite releases from them. It's just so dirty and kind of slower than all their other shit. I really like it.
For me, I kind of got to cheat and say just a couple bands because they're kind of related. So for an old one, anything that the band's done is good. But actually, while I'm saying this, oh no, my phone's right here. Never mind. I would have to say Gut Rot, which is from Michigan, Detroit. And then also Mutilated, which shared some of the members of Gut Rot, not all of them, but it did. And that band, both those bands are just so good. I miss watching those bands. They're not around anymore. And they were the type where when you see them, you just were blown away. Like your jaw would drop right off because of how good they were and how nuts they were at playing. For newer bands, also, I'm going to cheat again because there's a couple that are just fresh in my mind. I'd have to say Ragtime. I saw those guys today, you know, just hanging out with them. And they're such a good band. They're a two-piece. They tour all the time. They're super dedicated. They're badass. They're like their own type of music, I'd say. And I really like them a lot. Another one, because there are ultra homies too, Livid. They're from Kenosha, Wisconsin. They're Power Violence. They're really good, really cool. And then, wait, there's one more. Or there's a few more. Like I said, I'm cheating right now, but whatever. There's so many bands. There's so many I can't even... Okay, another one that I've been listening to lately, Gollum of Gore. I believe they're from Italy as well. So it's funny that we're saying all these Italy bands. That's just a newer one to me lately. I've been listening to, also I've been listening to Gorgasm so much lately. I mean, they're not new, but, and they're not new to me, but that's just what I've been playing a whole lot of. Oh, who else? What's the other band? Oh, hold on. God damn it. Okay. Okay, that's it for now. I'm not going to keep going. That's the ones right. I want to shout out. You should check out. Also, too, thanks for having us, Will.
Yeah, dude.
I miss talking to you. I miss hanging out.
Miss you, man.
I know you're really busy with this stuff, too. But seriously, have us back anytime you want. You know, this is awesome. So I'll tell you way more stories. I'll think of more van mods.
Yeah, dude, I'm trying to first of all, it's been great talking to you guys too, man. Thank you for making the time and doing it as well. I'm glad we were able to finally get this going. And yeah, dude, you guys are always welcome on the podcast. What I've been telling people and what I always tell people, next time when you're ready to drop the album, when you're ready to go on the next tour, you know, whatever, 6 months, a few months from now, man, you know, whatever it is, drop me a line, man. Well, you know, you guys are always welcome back and we'll talk some shit. In the past, it's like I said, I got such a long list of people to get to that sometimes people get caught up in the mix. So I never want anyone out there who I've spoken to at a show or, you know, or someone who I've had on the show and invited back to feel like, you know, don't take it personal, man. My head is a whirlwind. They legalized pot here in New York, so that doesn't make it any better, man. Shoot me a line. You know, the phone works two ways. Shoot me a message, man, and you guys included. So with that being said, guys, did I leave anything out? Is there anything else to plug and promote at the moment? I know some of you guys, you guys might have some other projects that are active. I don't know.
Well, really quick here, too, there's one question that I forgot to answer or I didn't get a chance to answer.
Okay.
Because I kept sidetracking this with the phone calls. But my gear. Simple with my gear. I'm not too much. I do love gear. I fucking love gear. But I'm not like there's levels of how obsessed you can be with gear. I'm pretty obsessed, but I'm not as deep as somebody. I'm not like a level 68, you know, or, I don't know. I really like my Mesas. I have two Mesas now. I'll do it on a triple. The triple's broke. It's getting fixed, which sucks, but it's cool that it's going to be fixed. I have a PV, 6505, 5150. I have a Marshall I barely ever use, JCM 900. For the albums, I like to have a lot of amps around to just mess around with the tone. We use straight up the kind of stupid way, I don't care, of just recording our amps straight up. We do not direct in. I'm not a big fan of anything computery or anything too modified on stuff. I know that's not really popular in, at least for a lot of people, it's not really popular. So, I mean, we try to be really simple with our gear and our recording. And I mean that too. And we're a little bit just okay at recording too, but we make it happen. You know, if I could somehow, beat our music into a computer with a hammer, I would do it, but unfortunately we have to use Pro Tools and stuff like that, you know. But and then anything else to plug, I'm trying to think here. I'm not a big rush. Ice will be there. It's getting warmer as the day goes on. Right now it's pretty cold, but anyway, yeah, the only thing I would say I have to plug here, okay, for a release, for a next release, yeah, we're gonna do a full length soon for sure. We're still writing for it, but in the meantime, there's a little secret here. I'm going to drop this on the internet here. We're hopefully going to do a split with Deterioration, which would be really cool. They're sick. A fucking great band. So
sick. Yeah. No, another band that I have on my list here. I got to reach out to them eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. So that might be happening in the future. Then other than that, I would say for a shout out, I do have another grind and gore grind band called Reptile. It is me on guitar and vocals and a guy named Chris on drums. And he was in Serpent Speech with us. He also, at the beginning of Mutilation, played bass with us, but then moved away for about 10 years, and now he's back. Now we have this band. We're just getting things going. We have a full-length out. It is on Bandcamp. If you type in, like, Reptile Grind, I'm pretty sure you'll find it. We have Instagram for now. We have some shows coming up. And in the future, we're trying to do some short tours. We're trying to tour with Mutilation, too, because it's so easy to do together. Also, I'm going to speak this into existence, and Clay's going to be shaking his damn head right now, but Clay plays a little bit of bass in that band, and Clay does not play any string instruments. I got to say that in all caps. He does not play any. He only plays drums.
No, I'm good. I'm pro.
Okay, God, I thought you were saying I'm good. I'm playing. No. He's great. He's learning the bass right now. He's slapping the bass, you know, learning it. But it's cool because, you know, we're always hanging out. We practice sometimes on the same days. He heard a lot of the songs. One time he grabbed up the bass before we even started jamming, and he played one of the riffs, and I almost fucking shit myself. I was like, dude, how do you know the riff? So, yeah. And he'll say, well, I can't do it, but he can. He's learning how to play some bass. So you might see him on stage with us, too, and that's just so cool. I love how capable and ready we are to be like, hey, you want to go do our tour of our own with both the same bands, damn near the same people, just change over instruments here real quick. You know, I think that's really cool. I think it's kind of funny.
Nothing wrong with that, man. You know, yeah.
Can't get enough, dude.
Yeah, that's one thing I like. When you read about the early 90s, it seems like all these death metal bands, it was like, you know, it was like all for one for all. If you started a side project, you could get kicked out of your band for having a side project. But nowadays, sure, that's all flipped, and it's like every member of the band has two other bands with, yes, other members, and it's like whichever band actually gets the hype and starts getting the push, we're all in. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that nowadays, you know?
Yeah, and okay, this reminds me real quick, too, something I can say about that. You're right, and that's an interesting concept that you just brought up. Now, another thing, too, we've played with a lot of different people in Mutilatred, mainly on bass and a few on guitar, but mainly on bass and other bass players. And I look at it this way. I do not have that same view of, you know, like, how dare you go jam or something with someone else. It's quite the opposite. When I was growing up going to these jazz shows and blues shows, it's very common that everyone plays together and learns with each other. It's very common in that world. And if you don't, it's almost weird. If someone's like, hey, come over here and jam and learn, or you're at a show and they say, hey, come up here and play a song, it's almost weird if you're like, no, that would be kind of rude. So I kind of take that over to metal where, you know, if someone's around and they want to play the show and they can, they will with us, you know. And I mean our friends, I'm not trying to put that out there like, hey, everyone, message us. And play. No, that's not the case. But for example, just recently, Drew and Eli had a wedding they could not miss in the middle of like a weekend tour. They couldn't miss it. And we had a show in Kentucky. So we split off. They went to the wedding. And we had Chris from Reptile play bass. And he learned our whole set. So it's cool that we can just, you know, add someone like that. Also, me and Clay can play as a two-piece. We've done that a whole bunch. We played a lot of shows as a two-piece. And I think it's pretty exciting. I know it doesn't sound the same, but I don't give a fuck. I'm there to play music and metal and have people headbang, you know. I'm not like a picky elitist on, like, you know, as long as we're out there playing and having a good time, that's the most important thing.
I think what you guys said before about wanting to hammer the music into the computer, but you got to use Pro Tools, and what you just said about, you know, it sounds different as a two-piece, but you're there to have fun and play music. That speaks a lot to the brand of death metal that Mutilatred delivers, because it's not overly, like, wanky tech death. It's not tough guy slam, get in the pit hardcore. You got I call meat and potatoes death metal, and I say that respectfully. It's low end, it's chunky, it's brutal, it's guttural, it's, you know, it's the type of thing that is kind of like pure in a way in terms of death metal. I compare it to Mortician respectfully, you know.
We appreciate that big time.
Thank you, Will.
The
about
style.
That too, like, we boil down our riffs. We think about it very hard. We kind of obsess over it, of like how to write something, how to put it together. But we try to make things flow that we're having fun with and that we're excited to play. And for me too, it's really exciting to try to boil down some riffs that at first, a lot of our riffs start off more complex and harder, and we're like, no, let's strip it down. And we want to just have what we think is essential. There's an interview, I think, that Lily from Defeated Sandy was talking about, the same topic of writing songs, and he was saying how he didn't like some melodies of bands. He said shitty melodies, you know, and it's kind of funny because sure, you'll have that, but whatever, people like whatever they like, and we try to keep the melodies and our riffs interesting to at least us and then hopefully people that listen to it. But yeah, I appreciate what you said too, dude. I really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, thank you. I mean it respectfully because it seems like this day and age, everybody's trying to have that extra edge. And I like a lot of very complex, eccentric bands, but you guys kind of take it back to the roots, and there's room for that as well, definitely.
Yeah. Another thing I see people do a lot, and I guess I could say to people, like, you know, don't do this, but a lot of people, when they start bands, whether they're new or old and having a band, they sometimes worry about the wrong thing, and it is success, success, success. We got to be successful. We got to get likes on the internet. We got to do this. And it's like, okay, but if you're so obsessed that it's making you almost miserable, which I see that happen to bands, that's not good. You got to remember you're there to have fun and play because it's your passion, you know? No one just gets into a van and goes and smells like shit for weeks and makes almost no money, you know? Like, no one just does that if they don't really love it. So, yeah, that's it. You got to have fun. You got to remember to have fun. Don't get too caught up in worrying about shit and worrying about shit other than making your music and your band like really good, the best it can be, you know?
All right. And Pat, you just quickly, you yourself, you're a tattoo artist, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you want to plug that or plug your business or anything of that nature?
Sure. Yeah. Look us up. My shop is called Lake Erie Studio. I'm horrible at updating stuff on the internet. Sorry, because like I said too, I'm always like playing, practicing music, and also doing art. I just do stuff nonstop. I don't like to chill. So you can find some stuff online for sure. Lake Erie Studio. You can find my page. My name is Patrick McDonough. That's my name on Instagram. You can find my work on there. I love doing black and gray realism and surrealism. I love doing big and small stuff. Stuff that's weird, stuff that looks nice, whatever. I'm looking at Clay's tattoos right now. I tattooed him over the years. Yeah, I love it. Love tattooing. So, yeah.
All right, fair enough, man. So with that being said, Clay, is there anything else that you wanted to plug or promote or anything else going on with you?
Honestly, no. I can't really think of anything, man. I don't really have shit for this.
Playing drums is enough, dude. There's always somebody that's trying to happen to you to join their band, and there's a bunch of people after you when you're a drummer, man. Just keep your head above water, man. That's all we could ask. All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate your time, guys. Any parting words for fans of Mutual Hatred and listeners of the podcast?
I don't know. Keep it up. Keep up supporting metal in general. Keep going to shows. Keep buying merch, because that's what really helps people to get gas money to go to the next show, to keep performing. Also, right now, it seems like, you know, a lot of people just want to, I don't know, chill at home and go on the internet and not go out to stuff, which is fine if that's what you want to do. But I just really want to say, like, you know, go to shows, go to local shows, hang out, make friends. And if you play music too. It's sweet. It's the best thing ever. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. So keep doing it. Keep supporting. That's about it. Also, Will, hit us up, dude, for playing some shows. I miss you guys. I want to play some shows. Let's do, even if we do a weekend or something like that, let's do it soon.
I'm in enough bands. I'm going to show up there with a crew of guys one way or another.
Good.
Appreciate that, man. I'm gonna talk to the crew behind the scenes. You know the Exsanguinated guys. We're still behind the scenes, man. But they're so busy with Stabbed, and I love Stabbed, and I'm happy that they're getting out there making some waves too, man. So as soon as those guys come home and get a nap and a shower, we're gonna start baking that Exsanguinated album. But enough about us, man. Guys, thank you so much for your time, man. We'll be in touch in the future, and the door's always open whenever you want to come back.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
All right, we're rolling.
All right, man. Listen, thanks a lot to Pat from Mutual Hatred, man. Just calling in, talking me down. You know what I mean, man? I was a little out there before, man. He talked some sense to me, and we appreciate Pat on the lifeline there. Tom, you still with me?
I am.
All right. I heard some other people called in on the lifeline, too.
Yeah, we got a couple of these voicemails.
I love it. Keep them coming. By the way, the voicemail number should be in the description wherever you're listening to this if you want to do it yourself at home.
631-837-3274. Check it out.
Wow. Tom reading the number is a old school Easter egg for Heavy Hole podcast listeners, man. That's for everybody right there.
I got it memorized now. Here's the voicemail. Voicemail one.
Drop it.
Hey, Heavy Hole, it's Northwest Nathan. I'm calling because a couple of episodes ago, you guys were talking about the Wicked Innocence album where they brought clean vocals into the mix, and then Rob lightly buttered over the subject with his opinions. Shouts Cognitive, stoked for the new shit. So I wanted to weigh in on the topic. Obviously, if you're a musician, you reserve the right to make your music however you see fit, no matter who says what. Also, it would be wrong to say that there's no place in extreme music for clean vocals. You know, there's plenty of bands who've pulled it off successfully, and whole subgenres in which it's an important part of the sound, for better or worse. What bugs the piss out of me is exactly what Wicked Innocence did, which is probably ahead of its time considering how trendy it's become for death metal and deathcore bands to add clean vocals into the mix, when they previously didn't have that ingredient as part of their identifiable and established sound. Nothing is worse than when you know a band, because you've been listening for a significant amount of time, and you know and love their sound, but now the new album has their vocalist doing a shitty impression of Chester Bennington on almost every song. It unnecessarily polarizes your audience, when it could have been done on a side project, which wouldn't have any lasting effect on the band that fans have invested their time and money in. Because we've all got t-shirts in the back of the closet that we don't wear anymore because of it. I'd like to say as well that every band should release instrumental versions of their albums. Because usually if someone doesn't like a band, it's because of the vocals or lyrics. That's just where I sit on this issue. You know, just ask yourself, have any death metal bands been improved by the addition of clean vocals? And not one.
Well, I love that voicemail, and I don't even agree with all of it. I love it.
Yeah, I like a good opinion.
Northwest Nathan, not holding back. Thank you for your candor, sir. A lot there. All right, he's right. There is always a place for clean vocals in certain styles of extreme metal and certain bands that incorporate them. He's also right. Wicked Innocence tried to pull the tablecloth out, you know, and keep the silverware there for the fans, on that third album with the vocals. And just as they're entitled as an artistic choice to put the vocals on the album, the fans are entitled to say, I don't know if I want to listen to that as much as the last album, just like anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, Northwest Nathan, where you lost me, I'm going to be honest. When he said, and I'm biased, obviously, when he said every band should release instrumental versions of their album. And I'm a little conflicted because two things occurred to me. I mean, the first gut reaction is like, well, okay, so that means my bands are going to release basically going to release the album with me mixed out to appeal to people who don't like me. And it's like, well, for that matter, if I don't like the drums on an album or the guitar on it, say you don't like the bassist of a band, can we just have like, I mean, how many different versions are we going to do? But I get it. The vocals are the most polarizing thing, especially my vocals in Afterbirth. But then you got, in hip hop, a lot of time they do release the instrumental versions specifically to stimulate the track to be on mixtapes with different versions and stuff like that. So it's like, I don't know. Is that so? If we do that with death metal, is, I mean, I don't know, man. If people want to release instrumental versions, to me, as the vocalist of a death metal, of several death metal bands, I personally don't know if I like that idea, but I can understand the appeal. So that's where I'll leave it. Tom, I'd love it if you weighed in.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the hip hop world doing the instrumental releases. I think those need to be shortened. You only get a chorus, a hook, and a verse part. You don't get the whole track. If you want to rap over it, you're going to have to learn GarageBand. I don't know. Like, I don't care that much. Like, because I agree with him in spirit a lot. A lot of times when I hear a band doing clean vocals that didn't previously have them, it sucks ass. Most of the time, that's just the case. I could think of a few times when it doesn't. I mean, Last Chance to Reason, their first release, I don't think had any cleans on it. And then they got a new singer, Mike, and he just totally changed the game, and he put all kinds of cool singing on it. Huh. But I think I could go without most of the time. I prefer if people didn't do that. Imagine if the opposite happened. Imagine if Taylor Swift released a song where she started doing guttural vocals in the middle of it. You know what I mean? Like,
interesting.
You are creating an audience, and then like I wouldn't call it betraying an audience, but you're definitely subverting an expectation by not delivering kind of what they expect. But you know, at the end of the day, it's your project. You do whatever the hell you want. I just wouldn't.
We're probably within 3 years out of Taylor Swift actually doing that, and then maybe that being the peak of this death metal revolution era we're in now.
Yeah, and then a hard crash.
And a hard crash, and then I get to live my dream of being unpopular and not being able to play shows.
Yeah.
And so I can feel sorry for myself, which is what I'm joking.
It's the end goal.
Oh boy.
Good voicemail though. Thanks, Nathan.
Amazing. Yeah, great voicemail. The instrumental thing.
All right, I got another voicemail.
Heavy hole, how you doing? It's Tony Baldoni. Long time, no talk. How you doing over there? Just want to say, I'm still listening, still loving the show. You guys are doing great. I'm just locking up the doors to the Ski Emporium right now. And I was in the car, I was listening to a great record, and I figured I'd tell the listeners about it and you guys as well. It's a band called Cutthroat. All one word. It's a record by the name of Hate Breeds Rage. Again, all one word. Hate Breeds Rage. I'm not 100%, but I believe they're from upstate New York. Quite honestly, I ordered the record many, many years ago in Berry Distribution. Back in the day when you would just order things based off a description. And I would describe it as kind of like Crowbar, Hatebreed meets like Pantera. Really great guitar player, great vocals. I was just listening to the song Power Place in particular. So hopefully, Tom, you can cue that song up for everybody. Not sure how readily available it is. It's a fucking sick record. Great band. So yeah, Cutthroat, Hate Breeds Rage, check it out. And you guys are crushing it. Much love, shout out to fucking Rick, Terrell, Sam, the whole crew out there, Tom, Justin, and of course, Uncle Buck.
Wow.
Tone Baldone on the check-in. This has all the hallmarks of a classic Heavy Hole podcast episode now.
Sure does, man. Wow.
Thanks, Tone. Also not going to address the allegations that Tone Baldone sold me my dog under the table. I did adopt my dog. Yeah. Wow.
As for the doggy mitts, we'll see.
Yeah. He's got a good connect for the Huskies up there in the ski country where he sells them jackets. Were you able to cue up this band he told us about? Is this a real band or was that some sort of coded, like, criminal language? Funny because Dave Gladding and I have been doing a series lately on upstate New York bands. So I appreciate Tone listening and chiming in with that. You know, upstate New York is ski country.
Sure is.
It's Tone Baldone's region, man. Tone Baldone and Johnny Clams up there run the whole state. No, that's good. Well, that was Cutthroat?
Yeah, Cutthroat, was one the word, band. And the album Hate Breeds Rage.
Is that a concept album about Hatebreed?
That's what I was thinking at first, but I think it's, yes, I think it is that.
Okay, fair enough. Appreciate Tone bringing that to our attention. Yeah, no, I look, all kidding aside, man, that is something cool to look up. Especially, like I said, Dave and I have been kind of like talking about upstate New York bands. A lot of them bridge hardcore and death metal in interesting ways. I feel like that nestles nicely into the conversation as well. Shout out to Dave. So with that being said, that was our two voicemails, right, Tom?
Yes, sir.
If you want to leave your own voicemail, like we said, the number's in the description wherever you're listening to this. Call us up and tell us what's going on. Give us a little complaint. Give us a little recommendo. I don't care. I do care. I actually care deeply. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to Pat from Mutual Hatred for checking in tonight. Check out Mutual Hatred. I just saw they got announced on the, what is it out there, the Toledo Death Fest. Ohio having death. When Ohio has Death Fest, pay attention, people, historically. What else is going on out there? HeavyHolePodcast@gmail.com if you want to drop us a line. We'll try to get back to everybody. Check us out on Patreon. Tom, what am I forgetting here? Anything else going on?
Not really. Just thanks for listening.
Good one. Yeah,